Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes and your podcast player on your phone. This week, we'll talk to Joe Henry, get a Lake of the Woods fishing report. We'll hear from Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. We're also going to check in with Jamie Dittman from the Brainerd Lakes area to find out how fishing has been and to find out how his elk hunting trip to Montana went. He's got some information about how it went and what might help you on your next elk hunt that you might take out west in the United States. We're going to start off with Craig Molitor from the Fond du Lac Convention and Visitors Bureau to talk about a unique opportunity. There's only one place pretty much in the world that you can do something like this. We'll hear from Craig here in just a second. This week's show brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Rainy River fishing on fire right now. Ice fishing right around the corner. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Same with Devil's Lake. Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on the east end of Devil's Lake. Fall fishing is good. And of course, the ice fishing right around the corner. They fish for those perch mobile in a heated snow bear. It's the way to go. Check out HayBaleHeights.com. Each year for a while, we were making it out to Lake Winnebago for the big sturgeon spectacular that happens there every year. It's such a cool event, so unique, not only in Wisconsin, but the region, but really in the country, pretty much anywhere in the world. Such a unique event to be able to go out there and try to spear sturgeon. And you have to apply for a tag coming up here very soon. By October 31st is a deadline if you want to go out there and try it. It's such a cool experience, and of course, the whole town celebrates, the whole area. It turns into, we always liken it to deer camp on ice. It's such a cool atmosphere. Fond du Lac has always been a great place for us out there, and we're going to talk to Craig Molitor right now, the president of the Fond du Lac Convention and Visitors Bureau. Craig, thanks for coming back on the radio show.
Hey, it's an honor. It's always great to speak with you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity, for sure.
You bet. You know, so much fun always over there every year, and you guys are always coming up with new things each year to do, and I want to talk about some of the new things that you've got going on out there this year, and then, of course, some of the great events that you have every year out there. But bottom line, this is about going out there and having the experience to see a sturgeon up close and personal, isn't it?
That's right. You know, I was born and raised in lower northern Michigan, so when I moved here to Fond du Lac, I knew what ice fishing was, right? I'm kind of a city guy, but I knew what ice fishing was. But as soon as I came here, I recognized very quickly that what was happening out on the frozen surface of Lake Winnebago was a lot different. It's the only place in the world, essentially, that you can participate in sturgeon spearing of this particular breed of sturgeon. And it's just an amazing thing to witness. Even if you're not an outdoors person, just to see the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cars, you know, piling out there under the lake on that the second Saturday of February, and see the shanties starting to mass out there, and it's such a cool phenomena. So what we decided to do was to kind of pay homage to the fact that this fish was here in our backyard, kind of build a festival around it. You likened it to deer camp, and I think that's an excellent way to put it. But I've actually found it to be it's almost a little more inclusive than deer camp, because when you're at one of these way stations, man, you got husbands and wives and grandparents and kids, and it's just families, generations of families coming together to celebrate this thing. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but you know, some people out there might go, "My gosh, you can spear a sturgeon!" And before people, for people that haven't heard of it, the sturgeon fishery on Winnebago has been intensely managed over the years, and it's been a history of you know, of spearing over there for a long, long time. And it's become such a tradition over there, and they have a quota on it. So it's not like you get these thousands of people out there and they're just winging spears all over the place, taking fish after fish out. For the amount of people that come out there, it's really, it's a relatively low number of fish that actually come out. But it's a great opportunity just to have the chance to do it. Because it is so unique out there. And the DNR out there, Craig, has really done a great job managing it.
Absolutely. And you know, I think some of you use the term intensely managed, and I think that's so right. And in a way, that's what it has allowed this thing to become so darn special. We've got an organization in this community, in the region, called Sturgeon for Tomorrow. And some of the founding members of Sturgeon for Tomorrow are still around. And these people, I think of them as heroes. They have made sure that we as a community and the DNR celebrate this fish, because some of the fish that are being pulled out of the lake are 80, 90 years old. They're weighing 100, 200 pounds. That kind of phenomena can only happen if we're doing it the right way. And that's what that's what makes this all possible. I also think that the fact that it is not necessarily something that you're going to come and do once or twice or maybe even a generation, that makes it just that much more kind of intriguing. One of my favorite analogies about sturgeon spearing, and this may get some of your folks to go, well, I never want to do that, but what I like the way it's described by somebody. Said it's like duck hunting through a chimney.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you think about that, like, I'm telling you what, if you get a duck by shooting through a chimney, you are going to remember that forever. And so will your buddies and so will your family, and it'll be an extremely special thing to you.
It is one of those things that you have to try. And I know a lot of guys, we talked to a lot of guys over there that that spear for many years without getting the chance to spear one. And then when they finally do, it just makes it that much more special because it's such a unique opportunity. And Craig, we don't have to get into too many of the specifics, but there's kind of two options. So the deadline for getting a tag is coming up October 31st. So you have to apply for a tag by October 31st. And there's essentially two different areas you can apply for.
Yes. Yeah. And you hit upon it when we were speaking earlier, the Lake Winnebago tag and then the upriver version of that. There is, I think it's safe to say there's an unlimited amount of tags for the Lake Winnebago spearing. I would encourage anybody that's even remotely interested in it to just go get a tag. I mean, it's inexpensive. You mentioned to me, and it didn't occur to me, but Halloween is the deadline. October 31st, you have to have your tag by then. So even if you're, like, you may have a friend or family in the area that's going to put a shanty up. I'll give you some information on shanties in a second if you're interested. But if you're even vaguely interested, just go get a tag. Because you cannot even touch a spear in somebody else's shanty if you don't have a tag. So there's an unlimited number of tags you can get, but you gotta follow the rules very, very precisely.
Absolutely. And if you want to see what it's all about, we did go out there and do some filming. The Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page, you can find that video, or through the Outdoor Report on Facebook as well. And just see some of the tradition of it and some of the interesting people out there that are carving decoys and have been spearing for a while. And we even, like Al Blatz, we interviewed who speared, I'm going to forget how big it was, like 172 pounds or some ridiculous thing. It was giant, ginormous, huge, huge fish. It's such a cool experience. And it is one of those things that I always tell people, you got to at least go out there and try it, because as you mentioned, it's a community-wide celebration. So it's not just going out there and sitting in a shanty and hoping to spear a sturgeon, but so much more. We'll find out more about the events taking place at the Sturgeon Spectacular in Fond du Lac on Lake Winnebago during the Sturgeon Spectacular, February 5th through the 10th. We've got Craig Molitor. He'll be back here in just a second to talk more on Sporting Journal Radio. Plus, Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods will get us a Rainy River update and start talking about ice fishing on Lake of the Woods and how you can get a trip planned. And Jamie Dittman recaps his trip to Montana for elk and mule deer. We'll find out just how they did. And he'll offer some tips, too, on how you could plan a trip to Montana as well.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. This is Midwest Radio, home for the outdoors, Sporting Journal Radio. Find us on Facebook, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast in your podcast player and iTunes. Talking with Craig Molitor right now. He's the president of the Fond du Lac Convention and Visitors Bureau as they gear up for the Sturgeon Spectacular. The deadline to get your sturgeon spearing tag is Halloween.
I remember the first year we went out there, Craig, we got to see the WISA World Championship, the World Ice. So you're going to have to help me out with this. And this is back again this year, right?
Yeah, it is. And what it's called is the World Ice and Snow Sailing Association World Championship. And basically what it is these athletes from all across the world. I mean, mostly they're from Russia, Ukraine, France, Sweden, that sort of area. And these are the guys and gals that sort of lash massive kites to their body or hold on to sails, and they go whipping across the ice.
Yeah,
and they compete in ice racing format. It's really almost majestic to watch. I mean, you can see it from miles away, these big kites, but the closer you get, the more dynamic this thing gets. So there's going to be, as you mentioned, WISA, World Ice and Snow Sailing Association World Championships, are coming back here, and they're going to be taking place that very week and weekend. We've built a number of other things to do, because the sturgeon spearing itself begins sun up on that second Saturday of February, so it'll be the 9th this year. That's when, so sun up till I believe it's 1 o'clock. So after 1 o'clock, if you're so inclined, you can just come back into the community and participate in all the other stuff we got going. Do you mind if I just kind of roll through some of the items we have
sure,
lined up?
Sure, but let's just back up 1 second, Craig, because that WISA, the first time I saw that, I was like, this is, and it, you know, it doesn't get windy at all out there, Craig. Not at all. I mean, perfect place for it on Lake Winnebago.
It really is.
The big expanse, plenty of wind out there, and it was blowing really good. And these guys were out there with these big kites and riding around on skates. And then they've got they're like windsurfers with blades under their boards. And you look at some of it and you're like, I could do that. I mean, seriously, how hard is it really to just get pushed by the wind on skates, you know, really? And then we tried it. Jamie Dimon and I tried it.
That's right. I forgot that you had done that. That's right.
And I was not good at it. It did not go well for me. Jamie fared maybe.
I tried it too. Yeah. I remember thinking, thank God I'm wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
This is dangerous with a capital D.
You know, and once you try it, you gain a lot more respect for the people that are out there doing it and doing it at a high level. So it was really fun to watch these people out there. And, and then there was the guys with the fat tire bikes rolling through there. And I've ridden on some fat tire bikes, and it's kind of fun, Craig, but after a while, riding a bike through the snow, it also gives you some more respect for the people that are doing that out there at a high level too.
You know, the funny thing is you're using the word respect. I don't know if that's the word I use for somebody that does this.
Right.
You know what I mean? I respect their skills. I don't respect their judgment, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we've got the fat tire bike race. We've got an outdoor hockey tournament. We've got scheduled in Lakeside Park, which is right on the shores of Lake Winnebago. We've got a softball tournament. We've got live entertainment all throughout town. We're hosting the Wisconsin State's snow sculpting championship. Let's see, we're going to do curling downtown. Cool. Of course, this is Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Our bars and taverns are going to be running beer specials,
no,
and drink specials all weekend. I know that it's a surprise, right? Wisconsin's going to get involved by having drink specials, but we're really going to go all out this year on it.
Craig, one of my favorite parts of being out there during the Sturgeon Spectacular, maybe listening to the radio show that's like half sturgeon spearing updates and half polka, you know, like beer barrel polka music.
Right. It's classic. The local radio station, KFIZ are their call letters. It's the local AM radio station, and they got this guy, and I mean this very, very respectfully. He's probably about 85, and he plays a blend of polka music and the folks that are calling in saying what they spear. It's classic Americana right here in Fond du Lac.
You can't make that stuff up, folks. It's a neat experience.
No, you really can't.
So cool. And Craig, go ahead, Craig.
I was going to say, there was a documentary made a couple of years ago. It's called Frozen Chosen. And it is a well-respected documentarian, took 2 years and followed two different families, one on the east side of the lake, one on the west side of the lake. And he followed them for 2 years and documented how they feel about sturgeon spearing. I think you can find it on Netflix. Again, it's called Frozen Chosen. And it's just, I tell you what, you literally laugh and you literally cry when you watch this documentary. And it gives you some more, would give your listeners a little more insight on what a special thing sturgeon spearing is.
Absolutely. Frozen Chosen. Check it out. And again, that deadline coming up Halloween, October 31st, for your sturgeon tag to get over to Fond du Lac Lake Winnebago and get in on the Sturgeon Spectacular and bring the family, because events for everybody going on all over town. The Wisconsin State Snow Sculpting Championship, we didn't even talk about that at all. That's a pretty, yeah, pretty cool spectacle to see those big snow sculptures. I mean, they're pretty intricate. It's a lot of work.
Incredibly intricate. Yeah. We had, unfortunately, 2 years ago, the winner came back this year, and his crashed the day it was supposed to be judged. I mean, it collapsed because, to your point, it's very intricate. And those guys, I was so full of admiration. They shoveled away all the bad snow, and they redid a new thing. They didn't end up winning, but there's so much drama tied into it that it's pretty fun to keep coming back all weekend and checking out. We have events in areas throughout town that are targeting specifically things for kids to do. We're partnering with our children's museum, so this is a family-friendly thing. We also have things that are specific for adults, like comedy shows that have blue portions to them. So we're really trying to appease everybody that might be interested.
Sure. Now, the hockey tournament, I know at one point there were hockey games getting played on the ice on the lake. Is that happening again this year?
Yeah, well, the biggest disappointment for me is that I made the decision to move the games off of Lake Winnebago. So we make an outdoor ice rink in the park, which is on Lake Winnebago. It just became... you know what? You never know what's going to happen with the lake. And
oh,
I just
sure.
thought, I'm just too much of a worrier to think about folks yeah. going out there and playing on ice. So we moved it on shore, but it's still outside. It's still got that sort of vibe of an outdoor old school hockey game.
Sure, and you probably get better ice. I bet the skaters are probably okay
ice.
With it.
Actually, to be honest, a lot of parents wouldn't let their kids play on the ice because it is just such a crapshoot, really.
Craig Molitor is the president of the Fond du Lac Convention and Visitors Bureau with us here talking about the Sturgeon Spectacular coming up February 5th through the 10th, Lake Winnebago, here on Sporting Journal Radio. Craig, we got a couple of minutes left here. We can keep talking about this a little bit. Now, if people want to come out there, plenty of hotel space for them.
Yeah, absolutely. We're obviously going to set up hotel specials throughout the community. And so what I would do, what I'd like to suggest, if anybody wants more information on this entire event, check out FDL.com. It's the easiest way to kind of push folks in that direction. It's just FDL, again, Fond du Lac, FDL.com, and that'll take them to our website. We're still putting the finishing touches on the Sturgeon Spectacular portion of that website, but they're going to be able to find out more information about what we do, what we've done in the past, and what to expect this year.
And did I see something about a photo contest? Is that this year out there?
Yeah, we're trying to get people to bring their catches. I don't know if that's the right term, catches. We're trying to get them to bring this fish into the park where we're going to have the entertainment and the hockey game and the fat tire bike races. So we're going to do a photo contest in Lakeside Park. So get the folks to bring their fish in. We'll take a photo of them. The folks that do come in and register for their fish are going to be registered to win a grand prize. We're really trying to make sure that we never lose sight of the fact that this is all because of the sturgeon. And for those of your folks that may not know the sturgeon, check it out online. It's the ugliest fish. It's so ugly that you really have to love it. You know?
Oh, they're
you know
great. What I mean? They're prehistoric, man. They're dinosaurs. I think they have kind of a neat look to them, and they're just interesting. Interesting. They don't look like a walleye or a bass. That's that's for sure. Now, if somebody wants to go,
that's for sure.
And if somebody wants to go out and spear, and they don't have a shanty, they don't have spears, are there guide services, or is there a way they can find out some tips to what to bring?
Do you mind if I just do kind of, it's kind of a shameless plug, but it's the person that we always turn to and very, very reliable.
Go right ahead.
All right. The gentleman's name is Sean Wendt, W-E-N-D-T, Wendt. And the number is 920-960-5020. Again, that's 920-960-5020. He's one of the most well-respected guides out there. He works with other guides in the area, so they share the wealth, so to speak. His family owns one of the best taverns that you can find in Wisconsin, and that happens to be right at one of the primary way stations. So Wentz on the Lake is like the place to be during the opening weekend of sturgeon season. You can launch from their parking lot. You can hire him to guide you. You can hire him to put a shanty up. It's very, very affordable. And when it's all said and done, you can come back and get a Bloody Mary and some beer and smile that you've had an awesome day.
Or a bulldog like I did, and then order the perch.
There you go.
A couple of times. Wentz on the Lake. Very cool.
That's right.
All right. Very good. Well, again, that deadline is coming up October 31st to get a tag for the sturgeon spearing season on Lake Winnebago. February 5th through the 10th is the Sturgeon Spectacular. Fond du Lac, FDL.com is the website for more information, FDL.com. Craig Molitor, President, Fond du Lac Convention and Visitors Bureau. Good luck at the event this year, and thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Really awesome speaking with you again. Thank you so much.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio, your Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in over the air or on the podcast. Jamie Dimon, our guest now, he's a guide in the Brainerd Lakes area, somebody that's gone with me to the Sturgeon Spectacular many times. Jamie, maybe take a crack at spearing a sturgeon again this winter?
Yeah, we might have to. You know, we took a year off, but kind of missed it. So we're going to have to give her a shot again this year.
Yeah. I know we both had conflicting schedules last year, but maybe we'll try to get back out there to Fond du Lac this year. That was a good time. And I'm applying for upriver licenses where the it's harder to get a tag. From what I hear, it's like a 7 or 8 year wait, but the success rates are a lot higher. So may try to do that. Jamie, I don't know if you noticed, do you fish Mille Lacs at all this time of year?
A little bit. Once in a while we go out, you know, the walleye bite's really good, but the muskies are usually on fire about now.
There's walleyes in that lake?
There was.
Get out of here. Well,
that's a whole nother story.
The muskie bite sounds like has been pretty good in a lot of places. I saw Hayes Baldwin got a nice one here recently. I saw it come through Facebook, and I've been seeing some giant ones up on Lake of the Woods and some other places. And then on Mille Lacs, this Maddie Ogg, she's a she's a member of the Women Anglers of Minnesota. She caught a new Northern Pike state record in the catch and release category. A 43.5-inch pike. Looks like it had some girth to it, too. Real nice fish off Mille Lacs, Jamie.
That is nice. That's a big fish.
You can see it on the the Minnesota Fishing DNR, Minnesota Fishing Facebook page shared it, but you can see it on the Prairie Sportsman Facebook page as well too. And I know fishing is good right now, but we've been stuck with guns and bows, and some of us have stayed in the state, like myself. But you traveled west last week, Jamie.
Another quick trip in the books.
Yeah, congratulations, so, by the way.
Went out there with all the intentions of. You know, I got my bucket list last year, got a bull elk, which has always been my dream, and to do it by myself. And this year I was just, you know, hopefully I see an elk, maybe I'll get to shoot a cow, and it's all good. No worries.
Right.
And hiked out Friday about 5 miles with my tent and me and my buddy Timmy, and set up camp right below the ridge, basically where I got my elk last year. And went up in the dark and sat on my ridge and thought it was odd. There was people walking towards me in the dark.
Oh, boy.
And pulled out my binoculars, and it was 5 bulls. And they, half hour before shooting time, they were eating, and they sat around for a while, but 18 minutes too early, they walked away.
Oh, no.
So showed some restraint there, did good.
Nice.
And after light, I had a herd about 200, 250 come down the hill in front of me about a mile out. And cut off, and then I heard some shooting, and then directly on the other side of my tent, which is I put a picture on Facebook, about 100 yards in front of my tent on the other side, two guys were in the trees, and I heard boom boom. Well, then I see a herd come out in front of me with a bunch of cows, so I figured a cow is good, I'll take a cow. And I went to pull up, and I had already ranged it, and I happened to glance, and the last one in the herd was a bull.
Nice.
So I went directly towards him and led him a bit. He was on a dead run, and pulled the trigger, and he dropped. So pretty crazy that, but 2 years in a row, about 10 minutes apart and about 100 yards apart.
That's great. So this bull was on a dead run. How long of a shot was it?
320.
320 yards at a dead run, and you dropped him with one bullet.
Yep. Put another one in it, but it dropped, and stuck his head up. And I am a firm believer with elk, and I don't like wasting meat, but you know, elk isn't dead till you tell it it's dead.
Sure.
You know, they will go and go, so you don't take a chance.
Man, that's
and
great.
The other two shots I heard ended up being on the other side of my tent, a huge 6x6.
Oh, really?
Which wouldn't even fit in my house anyway, so who wants that?
That's how I judge the animals I'm going to shoot. Let's see now. Will that fit in my living room?
Yep.
Nah, that's too big. We need to find someone smaller.
I'll cut up by noon and made my first trip out that night with half of it and half my hunting gear. And the next day went back out and picked up my buddy Timmy, who didn't see anything else, and my rest of my elk, and came in. And we've seen a few more spikes and stuff, but those aren't legal to shoot where we hunt. So we loaded up on Monday and went to eastern Montana to fill some deer tags.
Okay. How'd that go?
That was about 20 minutes. And,
wow.
We shot our does, and we hiked in a ways and finally found some bucks and filled our buck tags, but we were about a mile back through like 4 ravines.
Oh, boy.
So I loaded up 2 bucks on my cart and a big doe in my backpack, and took my cart and put both handles on it. Timmy helped, and we got it all hauled out in one trip, which was amazing.
So your meat wheel worked well then?
Oh, it was just unbelievable. It saved us literally three or four trips, which would have been 5 hours, you know. Hmm. And we packed up, and we're home yesterday at 4:30 in the morning with our eight deer and my elk, and just came home with one extra elk tag.
My gosh. So do you get extra deer tags with the license you buy out there? How does that work?
Yep. So I buy a combo tag, which is a elk and a deer, which is, depending on where you hunt, or a buck or a doe or a bull or a cow. And then bonus tags, you can get, I believe, two whitetail and then five mule deer doe tags each.
Really? I can't believe that they offer that many mule deer tags.
Literally, we could have, if shot opportunities in 3 hours, we could have shot 300 deer.
Oh, my gosh. So they're trying to cut the herd down a little bit.
Yeah, it is. And if you don't see any deer, just walk over the next hill.
Really?
It's unbelievable. And, I know the big mule deer, the big bucks, which I haven't gotten yet. And I did not try for one this year because I had my elk and that's what I wanted. Then I would have tried for a big mule deer if I wouldn't have shot an elk. But I know they're smart and they're tricky, but the small bucks and the does are nothing like a whitetail.
So you guys didn't get any real nice muleys then?
No. We just filled our tags and got home. And
it was a meat hunt.
Yeah, it was, the elk, if I wouldn't have got my elk, but I was so tickled, I didn't care about anything else.
Well, I've got freezer space, so with all
that
meat.
Speaking of which, I've been looking at new freezers.
I bet. Man.
Because I think we have a whitetail season coming up.
Yeah, I'm very jealous because I didn't get a chance with all the waterfowl guiding last fall. I didn't get the chance to deer hunt at all. And this year, with not guiding as much, I plan on doing some deer hunting. But I've definitely been going through a venison withdrawal out here.
Well, I have some. But also, in other news this
like
week,
it.
From a buddy of mine, a little safety tip for you.
All right.
When you are hauling your bow or anything like that, you should keep it in the back of the truck.
Okay.
I had a good buddy of mine last week had a medical issue and went off the road and hit a tree.
Oh.
And his crossbow was sitting in the back of his truck, and the arrow came out and a broadhead was stuck in the dash.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's something to think about when you're traveling, when you're hunting.
Holy smokes. Yeah, I usually have my bow in the back seat or sometimes.
Yeah.
obviously there's not an arrow knocked or anything like that, but there's arrows, usually in the quiver. But,
yeah, this came right out of the quiver and was stuck in the dash.
Holy smokes.
So I thought that was interesting.
Your buddy okay?
No. Five broken ribs, a broken wrist, a broken arm.
Oh, my gosh.
And the good thing was the dog fell down in the wheel well in the foot well and it was unharmed.
Wow. That's crazy. The dog was okay. That's great.
Yep, dog just had a scratch.
Oh man. Well, tell him to heal up. Glad it wasn't worse. So, all right. Well, what you plan on doing some deer hunting around the Brainerd Lakes area then this fall?
We have no more. We usually go out Thanksgiving to shoot our mule deer. We don't have to this year. We did get a couple long range. I think Timmy's longest was 725 yards.
Oh my gosh, he shot one at 720 yards.
Yep. Then my other buddy that was out there the weekend before me got one at 911.
Wow.
So getting our new guns pretty dialed in.
I guess. So you guys are sitting down and ranging it and then figuring out the minutes and all that business.
Yep. And today's world with the scopes and the optics and the, you punch all your information in your range finder and it tells you how many clicks to go, you're all set. I have all my stuff written on my scope. So say 600 yards, I know what to turn it to. And
you're factoring in wind speed and elevation.
You got your wind meter, and if you get a 10-mile-an-hour wind, I'm not real up on yet, but you just judge that on how it is,
Man. I haven't.
So it makes it fun.
Yeah, I haven't done a lot of long range shooting. In fact, I haven't even shot my rifle for a number of years, being that I've bow hunted so much in the last few years. But taking a I can't imagine taking a 900-yard shot.
They were shooting after they were all done hunting. They were just out there shooting, and He had a 2-inch group at 800 or 1100 yards. He had a 2-inch group.
Wow. So, and you guys are out there.
That's with Montana wind.
Yeah. You guys are out there. You've got your rifles customized a little bit, don't you? Or using some special rifles out there?
They all have custom rifles and everything. I just have custom rounds and a Kimber rifle.
Sure.
With good optics. But I do have a new custom gun just about done. That'll be my long range gun.
Well,
my elk gun now is basically just because it's so light.
Sure. Which is important to have when you're walking through the mountains out there.
Yeah, I haven't weighed myself yet, but I know I lost a little weight.
Yeah, I bet. Well, Jamie Dimon, congrats on your elk, and thanks for being on Sporting
Thank
Journal
you.
Radio.
Have a good one.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods, get a Rainy River report, and Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department will check in.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages. Perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio network. Online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to that podcast in your podcasts app, or iTunes as well. I'm Brett Amundson. This is the Midwest Radio Home for the Outdoors, and Joe Henry joins us now from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, I don't know. I mean, the weather has actually stabilized a little bit. It was a pretty nice week, but ice fishing is still right around the corner, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You know, the weather this fall has been pretty funky. You know, once we get some stabilized weather and people can get actually out fishing, it's been darn good on the river. And yes, ice fishing is right around the corner, but I'll tell you, prior to ice fishing, there's some walleyes to be caught. The river can always be hit and miss because waves of shiners moving through, there's waves of walleyes moving through. Consequently, usually if you're there for 2-3 days, you're going to find some waves of walleyes that come through that make your trip successful. But there's times where, you know, if you go sit in the same spot for 3 days, you could literally, you know, not do that great. You got to move around. You got to find these fish. You got to be looking for them. And usually if you're out hunting them, you're going to find them.
Now, guys catching big walleyes in the river right now then?
There is both. So they're catching eaters, and they are getting some big walleyes as well. Absolutely. In fact, you know, we've seen some fish that are, you know, 28, 29, 30-plus inches coming out of there. And, you know, they're coming out of there typically with jigs and minnows. That's what most are using. And, man, there's been some big fish caught this week. And, you know, there's some really good reports, too. It's so funny, you know, I always like to preface it because when I talk about it, fishing reports, you know, yes, there are a lot of people catching walleyes in the river. Definitely, though, there's walleyes in the river right now, and it's been good. Now, with that being said, I've also heard of a couple groups that, you know, they go out in front of the resort, they anchor up in front of the windsock, and they stay there for 3 straight days, and they only catch, a handful of walleyes each day. And, you know, if the walleyes happen to be running really hard, well, you can whack them right there. But at the same time, if those fish aren't running real hard, like I said earlier, it's really important that you try some different things. You try a little shallower. You try a little deeper. You go upriver. Maybe you try pulling cranks. Maybe you put the boat on the trailer and trailer it 30 miles upstream and drop in at Advitus or at Frontier. You know what I mean?
You got to move around a little bit.
You sometimes you got to go fishing. And, yeah, those walleyes do move. But, I mean, it behooves you to, you know, try to find those fish rather than just sitting back and hoping that they find you.
Well, this is the problem, Joe. Fishing has been so good at Lake of the Woods, people think all they got to do is show up and drop a hook in the water.
So, and you know, Brett, I'll tell you, you're so right. Yeah. Sometimes that is the case. However, you know, there are times where you got to go finding those fish. You know, I'm one that, hey, if I'm out to fish in that river and I'm jigging and I can't find those fish, you know, I'm going to go put on a crankbait and go driving around a little bit. And normally by doing that, I'll put that crankbait in front of some active fish, even if they're scattered. And, you know, by the end of the day, I'm going to have a pretty darn good day. The other thing that does for me is it helps me to find, you know, where some of those fish are schooled up. Then I can actually start jigging.
Yeah, go searching. That's Joe Henry, Lake of the Woods Tourism, here on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about fishing the Rainy River right now. And boy, things are going to freeze up here eventually. And when if people want to get out there for early ice, when is that typically up there?
Well, you know what? Everything's based on Mother Nature, right? But normally, people are starting to go out fishing with four wheelers and ATVs and such, and their collapsible fish houses right around December 1st. And normally, the resorts are putting out their day houses, their fish houses, not their sleepers, but their day houses, right around December 10th. So, and I'll tell you something, that first part of the ice fishing season, that whole December, man, that is normally a really, really good month to go fishing.
And then it starts to get to be a busy time for the resorts and lodges up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah. So, you know, you're asking what time frames, and, you know, early on, it's the hardcore anglers going up with their ATVs and collapsibles and following the trails that the resorts mark for you. And it's really important, Brett, I want to stress this, that when you go up to Lake of the Woods, or really anywhere you go, you know, the fact is those resorts are working really hard marking a trail. And, you know, the reason they have a trail marked is because that's where the safe ice is, especially for the first part of the season. Don't deviate from that marked trail. And that's where people get themselves in trouble because, you know, you might be on a trail that has 8 inches of ice. But if, you know, if you go 50 yards over, there might be 2 inches of ice because there's springs or maybe it stayed open longer there. There's a reason why they're marking trails, and there's a reason you need to stay on them and just fish just off of them.
And you got to rely on the people that are on that lake year round that have been there for years. For, you know, a lot of the fishermen up there, if they're traveling for a long ways, I would definitely want to lean on some of those people to know where the safe ice is.
Absolutely. That's what they do. And, you know, even as the season progresses, you know, most people feel a little safer. And usually you are because the ice is thicker. However, there's still things that can happen. You can have springs, you can have cracks, ice upheavals, you know, things happen on ice. And that's why if you just stay on a resort road, if you're fishing with a resort or maybe driving out on a resort road, they're going to drive those roads in the morning, make sure that nothing's happened overnight. If something has happened, either they're going to reroute you or they're going to repair it by, you know, maybe they got to put a bridge over a crack or a steel bridge or something. I mean, there's different things they do to keep you safe, but the point of it is they're keeping you safe. Now imagine if you were out there all on your own, you know, and just going across like a pioneer across 30 miles of ice, I mean, think about it. That's where people get themselves in trouble because they don't know what to expect. They don't know how to handle certain situations. And it's just better working through an ice road or a resort. It's so much safer.
Well, you talk about safety, Joe. I'll never forget how it looked last year when we were up there rolling around on snowmobiles. And my gosh, especially if somebody was cruising across that wide open in the dark. I mean, some of those jutting shards of ice, you know, 10, 15 feet in the air. It was insane.
Wasn't that something? It was actually very beautiful. But at the same time, talk about a healthy respect for that ice, huh?
Oh, for sure. And it was something like, I've been trying to, it was like the Dark Crystal or something, you know, it was something out of some sort of sci-fi movie. I've never seen anything like that before. It was beautiful to go through, even though it was, you know, 800 degrees below zero when we were doing it. We couldn't get the camera gear out there, but riding that trail, that is something, if anybody out there wants to go on a unique snowmobile ride, that's one that every Minnesotan should do, I think, from the south end of the lake up to the northwest angle, Joe.
Yeah, you know, and for the listeners that aren't familiar with it, there's literally hundreds of snowmobile trails that go around Lake of the Woods, and one of the trails actually goes from the south end of the lake, kind of by Rainy River, or you can catch it over by Arneson's Rocky Point in that area, and you can take that different trails all the way across the lake up to the northwest angle. They're about 42 miles, and you know those trails are groomed and they're staked and they're marked real well. And you know, even the trail we took last year with all those shards of ice, you know, it was well marked. But the thing is, when it got up by those shards of ice, it wasn't straight. It was like a snake. It'd go this way, that way. I mean, basically driving around those different shards of ice, going where the smoothest ice was. And you wouldn't want to be, you know, taking that thing too fast. I mean, you got to have a healthy respect again for it. But no, those trails, right, you talk about it. You know, so we snowmobiled up to those resorts at the northwest angle. And then Even just snowmobiling up at the northwest angle, wasn't that something?
It was a very cool experience and something completely different from any other Lake of the Woods trip I've taken before. It was a lot of fun. And then we did sandwich the snowmobiling with some fishing in the middle. And we only had a few hours really to go out and fish. And we caught plenty of fish to eat. We caught probably the biggest perch of my life, caught a big, nice eel pout. That's a cool place up there at the angle, Joe.
Yeah, it's neat. And, you know, one of the saving graces is, you know, when we, on this particular trip, there's a lot of resorts up there, about a dozen resorts up at the angle you can ice fish with. We happen to stay with the, you know, Sportsman's Oak Island. And, you know, when you get up there, you got a place to stay. You pull your snowmobiles right up to the door. We had duffel bags with just our necessities. And, you know, we had some, I think we pulled an otter sled with some of our fishing gear in it. Jamie Dittman had that behind his sled. And, you know, we just had the necessities. It's really cool because then when we go fishing the next day, it was 20 below zero, but you step outside your door after a nice breakfast and you board a heated bombardier that, you know, up at the angle, you don't have to go very far. He took us probably a mile and a half out on the ice and had us set up on the edge of a reef. And just like you said, I mean, it was nothing to it. We just sat back and nice and warm and caught fish.
Yeah, it was a great time. And you can watch that. We filmed it for Prairie Sportsman. You can watch it on the Prairie Sportsman website, prairiesportsman.org, on the Pioneer Public Television YouTube channel. Or if you go to the Prairie Sportsman Facebook page, you can watch that video of our snowmobiling adventure to the northwest angle with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. So talking a lot about winter, but if people want to get up there yet to do some fall fishing on the Rainy or maybe even plan that ice fishing trip, Joe, where should they go for more info?
And I'll tell you what, I know deer hunting's coming up, Brett, but if there's anybody that wants to fish during the deer hunting, before it, after it, up until ice up, that's when those big girls move in that river. Hey, best way to find out about information, you know, check out our Facebook page at Lake of the Woods Tourism. Otherwise, check out our website, and that's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Anyone spending time outdoors this fall is asked to keep an eye out for a new invasive weed. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. The Game and Fish Department is asking hunters to be on the lookout for Palmer amaranth, an invasive weed that was recently identified in the state for the first time. Palmer amaranth is a native to the southwestern United States, but was accidentally introduced to other areas and has devastated crops in the South and Midwest, according to a North Dakota Department of Ag news release. Since the plant was first confirmed in McIntosh County in August, North Dakota State University weed specialists have had reports of additional suspect plants in several other counties in the eastern part of the state. Since thousands of hunters will be covering the countryside over the next few weeks, Game and Fish wants them to be aware they could run into this plant, and we ask them to report any suspected discoveries. Palmer amaranth can grow to 6 to 8 feet tall, and the seed heads can grow to up to 2 feet long. Anyone who encounters a suspicious plant should take a photo of it, note the location, and contact the North Dakota Department of Agriculture at 701-328-2250 or North Dakota Extension at 701-231-8157. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.